Good afternoon, St. Rayfield. This is Father John. We're back with you on this Friday afternoon, April the 3rd. And we're getting ready. We're on the cusp here of Holy Week. And Holy Week is, of course, the holiest week of the year. We all know this. And while this week will be a lot different this year than it normally is in terms of our celebration of it, not being able to gather in church and be able to have some of the traditional things that we normally do, one thing is going to be the same, and that is our topic for today. It's the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of penance, however you want to say it. That sacrament is something that we're going to be celebrating this week, and we're going to be celebrating it a lot this week. Our schedule as of this afternoon is for tomorrow, Saturday. We'll have confessions from 7:30 to 8 o'clock in the morning, and then we'll have confessions again from 3:45 to 4:20, or 3:30 to 4:20, I'm sorry, on Saturday afternoon. On Sunday, we will have our parish penance service from 3 to 6. We ask that you come in by the gym. On the Jameson side, we'll have a couple of guys from Men's Club who will be out there directing traffic around the parking lot and allowing you to come across to the Circle Drive. When you get over into the Circle Drive, you'll be able to come into church and to go to confession. And then we ask that you immediately return to your vehicles so that you can leave so that the next group can come over. We're really trying to abide by the 10-person rule in church and that sort of thing. So we definitely appreciate your cooperation with that on Sunday. On Tuesday, we'll have confessions again from 7:30 to 8, and then 6:15 to 7 p.m. in the evening. And then Saturday, we'll have another extended time of confessions from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So plenty of opportunities to receive the sacrament this week. And what's interesting as I was getting ready for this recording podcast is that this is the one sacrament that you can receive on a regular basis right now. You know, probably most of you listening have been baptized, so you've been confirmed. Maybe you're married or looking to get married, but probably not going to get married right now or in holy orders. And communion and anointing of the sick can unfortunately only be given in extreme circumstances, whereas this sacrament can be received right now at any time, as long as we abide by the CDC guidelines for distancing and that sort of thing. So why is it so important? You know, of all the seven sacraments of the church and the sacramentals of the church and the prayers that we have as a church, this one sacrament is the one that continues to be celebrated in the church. Why is it so important? Well, it's important because, of course, of sin. And that's and the reality of sin in our life, and that the church wants to be there as the vehicle to help us to forgive our sins. Now, where does this word sin come from? It actually comes from Greek, and it's a term that originates out of archery. When you didn't hit the bullseye in ancient Greece, that they would say that you committed a sin or that you missed the mark. That's what sin is that I've missed the mark. We always want to do the good. No one gets up in the morning and says, you know what? I'm going to make the worst bad choices that I can make today. Whenever I see a choice and it's the bad choice, that's the one I'm going to make. We don't really think like that. We're always striving to make good choices. We're always trying to figure out, what is the good? What is the good for me to do here? And how do I get that good accomplished? Well, unfortunately, that sometimes that we choose goods that are good for me or maybe good to somebody else. But unfortunately, that they hurt somebody else. They hurt me, they hurt God, or they hurt another person. I did not choose the best. I did not choose the highest good. And when I do that, I sin. I committed a sin. And when I sin, there are really three effects of that sin. First of all, and this is most obvious, is that it hurts my relationship with God. Jesus came to save us from our sins. He died and rose again for that reason. When I sin, I'm kind of saying to Jesus, that's not really important to me right now. That, of course, is hurtful. So we can see how definitely our relationship with Jesus and God is hurt because of that. Our relationship with others is hurt as well. You know, be it, you know, a disparaging comment about somebody, you know, it hurts that person that we're talking about. It hurts the person I'm speaking to. It hurts all those in earshot. Or it's a sin that I'm committing by myself, maybe watching something that I shouldn't be watching. That those persons on the TV or on the screen, they are being hurt by me watching this because that they're being degraded, and so am I at the same time. And also my relationship with myself is hurt. I have these standards for myself. I fall short. And I can get very upset with myself because, you know what, I should have known better. I should have done better. So we have these three relationships that are all hurt because of sin. And even though we see these three relationships being hurt, we may not think, you know, it's that big of a deal. You know, can't we just get around this? Do we really have to go to confession? I mean, obviously, first of all, you know, to go and pray to God and ask God for forgiveness is pretty easy. And I don't really need a priest to do that, right? And maybe even, you know, in a particular circumstance, I know exactly everybody who heard the comment. I know exactly who I was talking about. And I go apologize to them. And I apologize to everyone who heard it. And it's like, okay, you know, I've kind of taken care of that. And maybe even I forgive myself. And it's like, hey, you know what? I've really done all three steps. So I've kind of gone around this whole confession thing. I really don't need this. Well, unfortunately, I mean, some of those things are really good ideas and things that maybe we should do even apart from confession. But at the same time, can I say that I can do that every single time that I sin? And I can do it perfectly every single time? The answer is no. No, we can't do that. We need the sacrament of confession. We need the sacrament of confession to heal these different relationships that are hurt, to heal these wounds that are formed in our life towards God, towards others, and towards myself. And that's why we have the sacrament and why it's being offered so abundantly at this time of the coronavirus, and of course always it is. But I have to confess to a priest, you know, the guy in the funny shaped collar. Why have to confess to this guy? You know, what does he know? You know, he's not married. He doesn't have a kid. He has a job, but a job in quotes. You know, why do I have to confess to him? Well, it's for a couple different reasons. First of all, is that every sacrament has a sign. So for instance, baptism has water. You know, we walk in, we see a kid getting baptized, we see water being used, we understand, oh, baptism. Why we use water? Because water cleanses. Pretty easy. Now, when I am talking about confession, and I'm talking about people who are in all different states in life, all different places in their relationship with God, all different places about where they're at in their sin, in their life of sin, what sign, like water or bread and wine or oil, could I use? The answer is none of them. Because if I'm in one place, it may not really satisfy me. That's why Jesus and the church have chosen a priest, to have another human person there. Is the other human person going to be perfect all the time? Are they always going to be sympathizing, be with me in that moment? Maybe, maybe not. But at the same time, that's the best guess, is to have another human person there who can be with me in my joy, in my sorrow, in laughing and crying, whatever that is. That human person is such a powerful sign for me. And such a powerful sign given to us by God. We say about the priest at Mass that he acts in the person of Christ. That when the priest says, this is my body, this is my blood, it's not Father John or Monsignor Staley or Monsignor Breyer or Father Bob or Father Surin who says it. It's actually Jesus himself who says it through the person of the priest. And that's something that happens because he's ordained as a priest. So the same thing in confession is that when the priest says, I absolve you of your sins, it's not Father John or Monsignor Staley or Monsignor Breyer or Father Bob or Father Surin. It's Jesus who says, and I forgive you of your sins. What an awesome experience. Yes, I can go pray and I can think I could hear that prayer. Maybe I really do hear that in the depths of my heart. But to hear it out loud in the words of Christ, what a powerful, powerful thing. And that's what a priest is able to do. And also, the priest is kind of said here, we say that he is a pastor. And the idea of pastor is that he's shepherding the flock. So he becomes a representative then of God and of the community. So it makes sense then that if I've sinned against a neighbor, and maybe I don't even know who some of those neighbors are, that I would go to the priest. And that the priest would be able to forgive me in the name of that person because of that power of Christ. So those are some things, some reasons why about confession. There are a lot more different reasons why, and you probably search on YouTube and find priests and Catholic people saying much better things than me, but that's kind of a little bit of an encapsulation. Now, how do I go to confession? Well, very good question. First of all, I have to be contrite, right? I have to know what I'm going to say to the priest. I have to have sin to be able to say that I'm sorry for them. And how do I do that? I say, well, haven't killed anybody recently. Am I good? Well, I need to examine my conscience. I need to take the time and I need to look through my life and saying, what have I been doing these past months, days, weeks, years, however long it's been since my last confession? On this flock note that's going to accompany this recording, I'm going to send out a few examinations of conscience. And if you type into Google examination of conscience Catholic or something like that, you're going to find thousands and thousands of them out there. Which one is the right one? There is no right one that I can say for everybody, oh, use this one and use this one only. Find the one that challenges you but doesn't make you feel so bad. So I want to find an examination of conscience that challenges me, but not one that makes me go like, oh, I'm the most horrible person that ever walked the face of the earth. Because I want to come to the Lord in that good frame of mind, that there are things I need to work on, and that God's love and mercy can sustain me and help me. And maybe we're in a few different places when we see the examination of conscience. One is that we might see a couple things on there and say, wow, I didn't think that that was a sin. Oh man, I got to really kind of work on that area. That's fine. That's great. Bring that to confession. Maybe I go through the examination of conscience and I say, wow, this was the same list that I brought last time I went to confession. And maybe there's just a little bit of a change. I still want to come to confession and bring that list. Maybe it's the habit that just won't die and I've confessed it I don't know how many times. I still want to bring that to confession. My goal when I go bring these things to confession is that God's grace is going to slowly convert me away from that. Is that because God's grace is not sufficient? No, it's because two things. One is that sometimes I'm still really attached to that sin and I'm still slowly letting it go. But also God works slowly in our life to help us to let go of that sin so that we do it in a human way. What I'm striving for when I make my confession is what we call perfect contrition. And perfect contrition means that I am doing this because I love God. And we realize that I may not be there yet, and that's totally fine. I may just be saying, hey, I'm doing this because I don't want to go down to hell. That's totally fine. But I'm striving to do this out of love of God. Why? Well, it's not only a good thing, but also in a bigger way, what's going to stop me from sinning? Is it going to be fear or is it going to be love? Love is probably the more powerful thing that's going to get me to stop sinning. So, I have my list of sins. I come here. I come on the parking lot. I go through the line. I get over to the circle drive. I find a place to sit. I wait my turn. I go in the confessional. What do I do next? Well, first of all, that I make the sign of the cross, you know, Father may greet me, and then make the sign of the cross, and then I say, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been minutes, seconds, hours, days, months, years, decades, however long it's been since my last confession. And if I say, boy, I really don't remember, make it your best guess and say, Father, it's been 5 years, but I could be totally off on that. Hey, that's totally fine. It's just something that kind of gives us a rough number to go on. And then what do I confess? Well, I confess my sins. I want to make sure, first of all, that I confess all my mortal sins. Those are those serious sins against God. And I want to confess those in number and in kind. So, for instance, I've robbed 3 banks. I have not. but that would be an example of a mortal sin that I would want to confess. Probably not just saying, well, Father, you know, I've been having a problem with robbing banks recently. No, that's not the best idea. I want to be very specific about those things. And then I have my venial sins, those lesser sins in my life. And those I might be a little bit more general. You know, I could say, you know, Father, I've lied 25 times since my last confession. That's totally fine. Or you might just say, hey, Father, you know what? I've been lying a lot and, you know, just being cooped up out inside right now because of the coronavirus. My wife's been asking me to do things and I just kind of lied to her to put her off because I'm just being lazy. That's totally fine. The other beautiful thing, especially right now, is that you can bring your list in with you to confession. Confession's not meant to be a game of memory where you kind of sit, where we have to sit there and say, well, I think I got them all. I got my list, and oh man, I forgot one when I got in there. You can bring in this entire script with you. You can look for it online, type it out, write it out, and actually bring it into the confessional and just read off a piece of paper if you'd like. Or just have a sheet there with things checked off. That is totally fine. Whatever is going to make you feel more comfortable. Father's then going to give you some advice, and then he's going to give you a penance. So the advice is hopefully to help you to understand the root of sin in your life, or something to think about, or something, maybe some suggestions as to how to change. And then he's going to give you a penance. Now, what is the whole idea behind a penance? The penance is something to get us off on the right foot. If I pull back out onto Jameson Road and I get home and I don't have a penance to do, and I'm asked to do something and I just fly off the handle, then I'm like, well, that good feeling from confession lasted about 3 minutes. That's not really a good thing. If I get home and then I do my penance and then I'm asked to do something, maybe I'm going to be a little bit more likely to say, you know what, I just did that good thing in that penance that Father told me. Maybe I'm going to make the right choice here and not fly off the handle, but kind of be able to kind of be a little bit more understanding and say, okay, I'll get up and I'll do this now. It's not that big of a deal. So that's the whole idea behind a penance. The penance is pretty easy. It's something that we can do, so no worries there. We then have the act of contrition. And people come in the confessional and say, Father, I know the old act of contrition. Father, I know the new act of contrition. I know the really new act of contrition or the really old act of contrition. There is no really old, new, pre-Vatican II, post-Vatican II act of contrition. Again, if you go up on Google and type in Catholic act of contrition, you're going to get a million hits. So which one should I use? Whatever you would like. You know, there's one in the confessional. You on your examination of conscience, you may have one. You may want to make one up on your own. You may print one off from the internet or bring one from a prayer book. It doesn't matter. It's just having there an expression of my sorrow to God and my desire to be forgiven. Father then gives us a absolution in the person of Christ. And as Mother Angelica would always say, you're going to feel so great, you're going to want to go out and buy a pizza afterwards. Because we've just been forgiven by God. All that weight that we've been carrying around, the weight of our sins, is finally lifted off of us. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Praise God. And we also don't have to worry that Father's going to carry it out of there with us and, you know, and kind of think about it all night, because we have the seal of confession. And that means that whatever is said in the confessional stays in the confessional. To be honest with you, you know, the best time to come is during a penance service, because probably Monsignor and I are going to be hearing for 3 straight hours. Hopefully we have a good crowd. I'm not going to remember all 3 hours of confessions, because it's just one right after another. And I don't say this to discourage people from coming to confession. I really want people to come to confession, but sin is actually kind of boring. So if you're coming because, like, oh, Father's going to be bored, yeah, that's not the reason to come. I make my confession, but Father's not going to remember this because it's not really mine. It's Jesus's. I give it to Jesus. I move on. And there's a real grace in forgetting the sins that are confessed in there. So don't worry about that. Oh, my gosh, Father's going to see me and he's going to think all about that confession. chances are very, very high, like 99 times out of 100, that I'm not even going to remember what was said by who, when, all that sort of thing. So that's a great assurance we have in the seal of confession. Not only that seal upon the priest, but also that grace of forgetting that priests have because of the grace of ordination. Lastly, just want to make a special appeal. You know, maybe you're out here and you're listening to this podcast or this recording and you're just like, you know, Father, it's been so many years and last time I went, it was just such a horrible experience and maybe I got yelled at or the priest laughed at me or the priest and I were just totally seeing different ways on this subject and it just was not a good experience. But there's something right now that's like, man, maybe I need to go back. To you, I would just say, you know, please make that effort. Please make that effort. Try to come back this Lent to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Make this the time to receive God's grace and God's mercy. You know, I definitely apologize, you know, if anybody has felt hurt by priests in the Sacrament of Confession. Nobody, I believe, gets ordained with that idea of hurting people. We are people. We make errors. We make mistakes. Maybe we make fake judgments in the confessional or false judgments in the confessional from time to time. But it's no reason to stop going to confession and to make that maybe that special effort to come back for the first time in a while this Lent and to receive this sacrament of God's mercy and God's love. God bless you this weekend as we embark on Holy Week.